Nisiem, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiem, Nisiaya, and the Skakulia, Talitin, Homer Queen Mustail. And fading out in the background there, we just heard from the Garys. That was Danceland, Come With Me, off of their new album from this summer, Surf Manitou. The Garys, great all-girl surf rock band out of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, which is a sentence, let me tell you. And they're called the Garys because that's their dad's name and they're all sisters. I don't know. Fun facts about the music that you are listening to start your Thursday afternoon. You're tuned into Intersections. We are the Gender Empowerment Collective here at CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver, British Columbia, at the beautiful UBC Point Grey campus. My name is Mel Woods. I am the Gender Empowerment Collective Coordinator this year at CITR, and I am joined in the booth by several of our lovely members, old and new. Maybe if you folks want to introduce yourselves for all the folks out there in Radioland.
Cool. Cool, yeah. Hey, I'm Lindsay. I'm a fourth year poli sci student, and I'm really excited to be here with the Gender Empowerment Collective. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Lillian. I'm first year at UBC. Yeah, I'm excited too.
Hi, I'm Maxime, and I'm doing a non-degree, technically seventh year for me.
Exciting, and it's exciting to have all of you here, and it was exciting to see lots of folks come out to our meeting this afternoon. If any of you out there in the land that is Radioland want to get involved in the Gender Empowerment Collective here at CITR, we meet every Thursday at 3 p.m. here in the CITR offices, and then we come forth into the studio and make the radio for all of you. Anybody can get involved, whether you're a UBC student or you're a community member. You're welcome to pop by the meetings or pop me an email at genderempowerment@citr.ca. We produce this radio show every week focusing on intersectional feminist issues here in Vancouver and the Lower Mainland at UBC and in the city beyond. We'll have interviews, we'll have discussions, we'll have events and all sorts of really fun things. I think today we're going to talk a bit about the Me Too campaign, maybe talk a bit about some protests that were happening here on campus this week, and maybe even talk about some cool queer events happening this weekend that I know I'm going to at least. There's a great Queers and Beers Cider event on Sunday that I want to check out. So it's a great show for all of you, and we will come on back with that right after this music break. We're going to be listening up next to a great one from Mary Lambert. The track is Body Love Part 1, and keep it locked here on CITR.
I know girls who are trying to fit into the social norm like squeezing in last year's prom dress. I know girls who are low-rise, MAC eyeshadow, and binge drinking. I know girls that wonder if they're disaster and sexy enough to fit in. I know girls who are fleeing bombs from the mosques of their skin. Playing Russian roulette with death, it's never easy to accept that our bodies are fallible and flawed. But when do we draw the line? When the knife hits the skin, isn't it the same thing as purging because we're so obsessed with death? Some women just have more guts than others. The funny thing is women like us don't shoot. We swallow pills, still wanting to be beautiful at the morgue, still proceeding to put on makeup, still hoping that the mortician finds us fuckable and attractive. We might as well be buried with our shoes and handbags and scarves. Girls, we flirt with death every time we etch a new tally mark into our skin. I know how to split my wrist to reveal a battlefield too, but the time has come for us to reclaim our bodies. Our bodies deserve more than to be war-torn and collateral, offering this fuckdom as a pathetic means to say, I only know how to exist when I am wanted. Girls like us are hardly ever wanted, you know? We're used up, and we're sad, and drunk, and perpetually waiting by the phone for someone to pick up and tell us that we did good. We did good.
I know I am because I said I am. I know I am because I said I am. I know I am because I said I am. My body is whole. My body is whole. I know I am because I said I am. I know I am because I said I am. I know I am because I said
I'm
And fun one right there. I don't know if fun's the word, but that's the one I'm going to use. That was the Chivrettes, hailing from my hometown, Calgary, Alberta, off of their album, just came out in last March, actually, Dead Man Can't Catcall. The track was Justice Robin Camp, and I don't know if any of you know who Justice Robin Camp out there. He's pretty well known as the Knees Together judge. He was a Canadian federal court judge who was presiding over a sexual assault trial and basically said, oh, well, the woman should have just learned to keep her knees together. And he was actually dismissed this March, which, for my hot take, is good. I'm glad that he doesn't have a job anymore. That's just my opinion. And I think that leads that track, really good album. Like, really recommend y'all go check out that Dead Man Can't Catcall from the Chivrettes. They have a song called Dead Man Can't Catcall that has like cat meowing sampled at the start and is exactly what you think a song called Dead Man Can't Catcall is. Great album, great track, great band. Check them out. They also did a track called Stephen Harper Suck My Dick back around the last election. Good stuff, good stuff. I love modern feminist punk. Anyways, good lead in to our next discussion here. We're going to talk a little bit about the kind of online campaign, and you've probably been seeing it around your Twitter feeds, your Facebooks, wherever you may be, the hashtag MeToo campaign. And I'm just going to put a nice warning out there, trigger warning to all of our listeners. If that discussion around this kind of stuff is triggering for you, take care of yourself wherever you are. And know that we'll be waiting here for you in probably 20 minutes back with less triggering material if this kind of stuff is not comfortable for you. So take care of yourself wherever you are out there and do what's best for you. But yes, Me Too campaign. Essentially, this was an initiative brought forward by a lot of women to put hashtag Me Too to talk about the, from what I understand it, their experiences with sexual harassment and or sexual assault. And the idea was, especially in response to the big Harvey Weinstein case going on right now. Case? Is it in the courts yet? Situation. Is to basically show how permeated these experiences are and how pretty much every woman out there experiences something like this at some point in their lifetime. Maybe not with the full severity of full sexual assault, but this culture around it. And so the idea behind this campaign is for people to become more aware of it, and a lot of celebrities have gotten involved, and as it goes along. Is that about right? I think so.
I think the general idea of the campaign was to bring the idea that a lot of people, like a lot more than you might typically think, have experienced sexual harassment or sexual violence. So to go down your Facebook news feed or your Twitter feed and constantly be seeing Me Too might introduce a new perspective that you might not have had before. I think it's a positive campaign, ultimately. That's my initial reaction to it. I have heard a couple of criticisms that I don't necessarily know if I identify with, such as there's a difference between sexual harassment and sexual assault, and it can be a trigger to some people who may have had different experiences, et cetera.
Yeah, I know that's definitely, I think, one of my kind of personal criticisms I took with it is I think that equating minor catcalling in the street with sexual assault can be very dismissive to sexual assault survivors who are dealing with, you know, this justice system and all of these things that are people like Justice Robin Camp, for example, and all these other people, and that, like, just equating them to being the same thing and the same level that we should respond to. I know a lot of people have lodged that criticism, and I definitely see where that's coming from. I mean, there's been other critiques too. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the campaign, just your initial reactions to it.
I think that I was, first of all, confused when I first saw it, because you see hashtag MeToo, you know, like, so many women are posting it online, and I was like, what is this about? And then I Googled it, and then I found out, and it made a lot of sense with all the Hollywood women speaking up, and I thought it was a good thing. It should have been earlier, and it should be a topic that is discussed more frequently than just now, because it's like a trending social media hashtag. Should be always a trending hashtag anyway, to have a platform to discuss it. I think that is definitely something I would like to see in the long run.
I mean, like, studies say that 1 in 4 women will experience sexual assault in their lifetime. 1 in 10 men will experience sexual assault in their lifetime, which is the stats to keep in mind. And I think that ultimately this campaign came from, like, a really good place. It was really Alyssa Milano, the, like, celebrity who pushed it out a lot first. But there's been a lot of talk about this woman, I think 10 years ago, tried to do something quite similar, and about the idea of ownership of campaigns and things like that too. So yeah, I think my general take on it is just kind of, it started a lot of really interesting conversations. Mm-hmm. Whether it itself is entirely good and pure, I think that it has brought these conversations to the forefront and has people talking about these issues, which I think is really kind of important out there in the world right now.
I think one cool discussion that's come out of it actually is, and it comes out of like your criticism of kind of like comparing sexual assault.
It's like apples and oranges is kind of how I think about it.
Yeah, but unfortunately, like, making that criticism, as valid as it is, I think removes us from talking about like rape culture as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about like how certain people posting Me Too maybe undermines the severity of the issue, instead of talking about too many women have been catcalled. Like that, mm-hmm. that's like a huge problem, and we should be talking about that. And there have been a really like a lot of positive responses from at least men in my life who have responded, being saying, "I will not, for example, I will practice consent. I will not get in the way of someone's body."
Yeah, ownership of yourself and things like that. And I think that "I will not" is a very good, everybody's always like, oh, things need to be more positive. But like, I think that's place negative language is good in the sense of like negative, I will not, stopping these kinds of things in their track. I think that's an interesting one. And I haven't actually encountered that one in my social media spheres yet, but I think it's definitely interested. I mean, I think people always take hashtag campaigns like this with a grain of salt,
mm-hmm.
Because like, what can they actually do? And I think that's a really important thing in our activism, both on our personal level and in like a larger organizational sense, to keep in mind going forward, is what do we do next? What does this accomplish, and what can it mean for where we go from here in our activism? Does it mean, you know, changing laws and changing our structures of systems so women who come forward to the police and to the justice system are not at an immediate disadvantage and immediately disenfranchised, right? Does it mean like increasing education about this toxic masculinity in the world? I mean, mm-hmm. there's just a workshop last night about here in Vancouver about, I think it was down in the downtown east side, about, you know, toxic masculinity, as we talked about it on the show last week. And like, that's an important thing. So I think like the best thing I've gotten out of campaigns like this is action. The idea mm-hmm. that like, we spread this awareness, and how can this awareness inspire action? And it's lots of different ways that we can inspire it, for sure.
I think what I want to add on to that is the concept of fear,
mm-hmm.
and feeling ashamed or afraid to speak up, and therefore also thinking that maybe this is just normal, that who are you to speak up? From my own personal experience, I've had my fair share of sexual harassment, and I always kept my mouth shut, even though there was really some moments where I really wished I could, but then I was so afraid that I might get stabbed or raped, because I could see that leading up to that point. And I always considered, you know, taking women's self-defense, but then I'm like, why should I always be the one, or not I, but women, why should we be the one defending ourselves when society can also change that we don't get attacked? Where is that, like, balance?
And I think that's a really interesting, another criticism that's been lodged against the campaign is the idea that it puts the onus onto survivors. It's saying like, and there's been a bit of a shame around too, it's saying like, for a lot of women, and I say women specifically, but I mean sexual assault and abuse occurs to people who don't identify as women. A lot of women who saw these campaigns out felt a really intense pressure that, oh my God, I'm a survivor, I have to report.
Yeah.
And like, maybe you're not in a place where you can do that, and that's like okay. And so campaigns like this have to be careful to not be shamey about that and things like that, of course. And the idea that lost my train of thought.
I see what you're saying. Do you think this one did, like...
I think it did a bit. I think it was a lot of, like... Because, again, like, for example, if you're a survivor of, like, a more intensive sexual abuse and you see somebody saying, oh, me too, I got, you know, yelled at by a construction worker last week, you're like, oh, God, I feel like I must say what... But it's, like, triggering, and it's very emotionally traumatic, and I know it can re-traumatize a lot of people. And so mm-hmm. I think we always just need to be kind of mindful of where we are in the language that we use in these kinds of campaigns.
Definitely.
And things. And, yeah, you talk about the idea of reporting and like the fear around it, of course, and the idea
and the normalization of it, that this is how women should be treated.
Yeah, and that it's on us to be the ones who report it. Like, a campaign like this is like, and I think what you're talking, I'm gesturing here in the studio, and all of you out there in Radioland can obviously see my hand actions. But what you were talking about with, like, the I Will Not campaign, and I think that takes some of that onus off, which is important, because so much of our justice system is saying, well, you have to come report it. It's like, actually, maybe people just shouldn't be sexually assaulting people.
Yeah.
Concept, right? Yeah. We make women, especially survivors of sexual abuse, that jump through so many hoops in their reporting and things like this. Again, good, but it does put a lot of the onus onto the survivor, which can be problematic at times.
I just also want to say that I really admire the woman who dared to say hashtag me too. I think that is also something, like, we can talk about the topic, but, you know, it's amazing that there, for whatever you've been going through, if you posted that, it's amazing. And I really admire you for that.
You know, you also think about, I agree. I admire everyone who's done that. It takes a lot of bravery, and I think that needs to be acknowledged. But Facebook and Twitter are very public platforms, and we talk about a lot of those, like, perpetrating acts of sexual assault and sexual harassment being people you know. So the likelihood of them seeing that on a public platform adds another
dynamic.
Could
prevent women to not report.
Yeah,
just the same way that you wouldn't report in the sphere, exactly.
It could. I was actually coming from a different angle.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, that's a valid point too, and a problem. But if that's kind of a way you can say, me too, hey, like, I'm telling everyone that this happened, and the perpetrator sees that, it's like an interesting dynamic there, because it's shameful. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about this thing that's a problem, like a structural problem of society, and you're a problem. Like, that's relevant as well.
And it's also definitely not a crave for attention. I think that should also be said. Like, mm-hmm. this is not just to get more likes or whatever on social media platforms, because that's what social media sometimes seems is about. But this is just a way to reach out and say, hey, this is going on. This is a serious issue. And I think people might, underestimate that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, and I think I agree completely with what you were saying. Like, anybody who has shared these things, that you're very brave and you're very strong. And if you haven't shared, you're very brave and you're very strong. And if anything like this ever happens to you, remember, you're very brave, you're very strong, wherever you are out there. And know, yeah.
And I quickly just want to, I don't know, something I've also been struggling with when I talk about friends about this. There is a friend who told me a story about sexual assault, and it was really intense. And because I didn't have that exact personal experience, I also wondered, how can I be there for her? All I could say was, I'm so sorry to hear this. Is there anything I can do? Because she didn't dare to go to the police. She knew, or in her heart, that's what she said, that it was going to be their word against hers, and there was no way, and she never wanted anyone to find out. And the fact that she told me this, I knew that it was so important to her and so brave. But then I don't always know how to be there for someone in these cases. And I think that's also something that should be discussed. How can we be there for people who come out and tell it, or maybe don't, or just in a personal sphere? Like, how can we support these people?
Exactly. And I think that here at UBC, we have a really good resource both for survivors and for people who are supporting survivors in the sexual assault office that's run out there. If you even just Google them, they're all their information's online, and they do like confidential emailing and reporting and things like that. And that's a really good new resource here on campus to have. And similarly, there's a lot of organizations. I know we had them back in Calgary, and I know less about here, but they do bystander intervention training, which is a really cool thing where essentially it's saying, like, if you're ever in a space and you see something happen, what to do. So, like, if you're at a bar and you see, you know, somebody slip something into a girl's drink, what do you do? Like, bystander intervention training is a really big thing for a lot of these kinds of things. So stuff like that. And I think it's also important to acknowledge the emotional labor, both for survivors and for networks. And, like, again, any survivors out there, take care of yourselves. And if you are really close to a survivor of sexual assault, take care of yourself and make sure that you're okay emotionally and things like that, too. Because these are heavy times. It's a really heavy topic. I know I found myself this week on my music show that I host on Tuesdays. I played what I called a warm hug of radio. So I just played a whole bunch of feminist folk music. And I was just like, this is just going to be a warm hug, because I know everybody's having just a really hard week.
Yeah.
And, like, it has been a hard week for a lot of people, for whether you're a survivor or not. Or you probably know somebody who's been really impacted by this. And it can be a rough week. And know that kind of solidarity is really important in those times and moments, and being there for each other in all sorts of ways.
Let's stand together.
Yeah. I think that's what our show here is about at its core, is about the idea of standing together with people from marginalized communities. And right now, sexual survivors make up a pretty marginalized community.
Yeah. So. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. So on that note, I'm going to play us out with another song, and we'll be back after the break to talk about another heavy topic, which is some pro-choice protests that were going on here on campus. So this right here, we're going to hear from Kristen Witko. The track is Mathematician. Enjoy.
Yeah. LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
And now a message from a very excited radio announcer.
Just for laughs.
Just for Laughs presents the Alternative Comedy Tour.
We gotta get out of here!
Featuring star of Silicon Valley, Deadpool, and everything else you like, TJ Miller.
Yeah, I was the star of Yogi Bear 3D, but I don't need to get into that.
With special guest, Flight of the Conchords, Rhys Darby.
I probably shouldn't be doing this. It's a risk.
And hosted by Nick Vatterott. The Just for Laughs Alternative Comedy Tour at the Vogue Theater, November 17th. On sale now at Ticketfly.com. For details, check Metro News or go to hahaha.com/alternative.
This has been a message from Just for Laughs Alternative Comedy Tour.
We'll be right back.
Who's gonna take you home?
Really an iconic track there. That was Against Me, True Trans Soul Rebel, off of the Transgender Dysphoria Blues. Really great band. They actually just were in town last month, and I didn't get a chance to go, which is one of my big regrets of the fall already. A list that will continually grow longer, I'm sure. Before that, we heard from one that's been charting on the CITR charts over the last few weeks, months. That was Japanese Breakfast. The track was Roadhead off of their new album, Soft Sounds from Another Planet. Really good album. I've had that on repeat for many a bus ride over the last little while. And kicking off our little mini set there, we heard from Kristen Wicko. The track was Mathematician off of the album Union. You're tuned into Intersections, the show of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. We air our 1 hour of intersectional feminist content every week here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Mel Woods. I am the Gender Empowerment Collective Coordinator this year, joined in the booth by several of our lovely collective members. And we're just coming off of a pretty heavy, but I think good talk about the Me Too campaign. Important talks. It's important to talk about this stuff, I think. And next, again, shifting topics to something a little heavy as well. Not different kind of heavy. Something that's been happening is definitely on the topic if you were ever on campus at all recently, especially if you're coming into CITR, actually, because it was just right out our front door. The anti-abortion displays are back. This is a stalwart feature at university campuses across Canada. I know back at the university where I did my undergrad, they came like a couple times a year. It was a thing. Here at UBC, they actually have a pro-life club called UBC Lifeline, which is what facilitated these setups. They were met by actually a larger counter-protest. The UBC, the student newspaper here, did a story on Tuesday about them. They've been here Tuesday, Wednesday, and today, Thursday. And yeah, their headline was literally like, anti-abortion display met with larger counter-protest, which is nice. It's always nice to see people going out. And I know when I was up visiting the UBC Pride Society last week, there was like banner-making sessions going on and things like that. So it's nice to see people involved in activism. It sounds like about a dozen pro-choice demonstrators were out there, in opposed to like four pro-life people, so that's always kind of a good thing. I myself kind of steered clear. I took a longer route around to get to the station those days just because I don't want to see the graphic images and things like that. But it is a thing, and it's a debate on university campuses right now for sure, these kinds of ideas of like what is free speech and what should be allowed to be shown and things like that. And I don't know if either of you guys saw the displays at all or had to walk past them.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they've been doing this for a while. Like, this
yeah, it seems to be like an annual thing.
From what I understood, they toned it down a bit because of backlash. It's definitely like my initial response to this is like, I'm sad because like feminists work really hard for the right for women to choose what happens to our bodies. So to see kind of protests against that choice is like really sad, like especially on a university campus, which is not somewhere that women have always been respected. So yeah, but at the same time, the right to choose does imply choice. I just think the images can be triggering to those women who have had abortions, and that's really, really sad to have on a university campus.
Yeah, I think for me it's a big, especially with the displays on campuses, it's a big issue of like consent. Mm. Like, I'm not consenting to see those really graphic images and be potentially triggered by those kinds of images and things. And I think that's the biggest thing, is they purposely set up in like inflammatory spots where as many people as possible are going to see these huge displays. And I think that's a problem. Something that my old university used to do is the campus security used to kind of say, like, oh, we can't kick them off. But what we can do is for, like, a 50-meter radius around them, put up signs being, like, warning, graphic protest ahead, so people would steer clear and go around. And I mean, like, I don't know if that's the best solution, but it is one option. I don't know how your experience was with
it. I actually saw it for the first time yesterday, like, first time in general. And, yeah, I mean, Vancouver was at its best, so I was pretty in a rush to get to the bus on time. And I just glanced at the images, and I was very confused. I'd heard about that this happened on campus once a while, but I was very confused what I was looking at. Was I looking at pro or anti? That, because there was one line, and this is a paraphrase, but it said something about there's the option of throwing it in the trash, something like that. So I was like, is this like supposed to be a joke, or is this serious, or what is this? But I felt that was very, I mean, the image is already disturbing, but that line, and maybe, like I said, it was raining, I quickly walked by and I read something of the sorts, but that was very disturbing, I found.
Yeah, they're definitely controversial.
I just don't get it. Like, I honestly am confused. Is it an issue of, like, a lack of understanding about the depth of the issue and the history of feminism and, like, what kind of achievements were made for women and, like, gender equality? And, like, or, like, I can't wrap my head around why you would want to take away someone's right to choose. Like, there are so many factors that play into that. Like, choices, in my opinion, choice is just, like, a win-win situation. If you don't want abortion, if you're not about it, don't get one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree as well. And I definitely feel like these displays will exist and continue. And I applaud the counter-protesters for going out there and standing in the rain sometimes. Like, it's been a rainy few days, and standing out there with your signs trying to block these images with pro-choice signs, I applaud them for sure. And I know that there was also, I want to say it was the UBC Women's Center, it might have been the Sexual Violence Support Center, had a table set up nearby for anybody needing support in light of all of this. So it was really cool. It was set up by the pizza place in the Nest. And so I think things like that are a good way to respond, as well as kind of saying,
definitely,
like,
yeah,
if we can't get rid of it, we can create a safe space as best as we can. So I think those are important and good. And
even though, yeah, I personally don't agree with, of course, the images and the lines, that's not my point of view. But I do think it's, in a way, a good thing that there is a room for discussion about this, for people who are pro and anti to really show that, you know, people can have the right to their own opinion. I mean, if it was displayed in the correct way, that is a whole other discussion, because it was quite provocative and maybe very hurtful for people. But I think it's good to at least get that discussion out there for people to talk about their own opinion.
But didn't this discussion happen, like, a long time ago? Like, abortion's legal in Canada. Like, why are we still talking about this? Like,
yeah, it's interesting. I think it connects to a larger debate going on campuses about freedom of speech, about, mm-hmm, you know, what kinds of discussions and conversations can be happening on campuses. And we see it down in the States with those alt-right speakers and things going on with that. We see that even here in Canada with Jordan Peterson, who's that U of T professor who is very transphobic and whatnot, doing, like, speaking tours around to campuses. He came to the UBC, like, and a lot of conversations saying, like, should people like that be allowed to come speak? Should these anti-abortion things be set up, be allowed to come speak? And I don't always know what the right answer is, and I don't know if everybody does in terms of, like, allowing for displays and things, but it definitely starts conversations. And again, from my personal perspective, I ultimately applaud counter protesters who do what they can to make light of the situation, not light, but make of the situation into something. So yeah
I agree.
So yeah, that happened yesterday. If you saw it or it happened to you, stay safe out there. Again, that seems to be the theme of this episode, is, you know, take care of yourself wherever you are.
This week in general, it seems.
Take care of yourself, Radioland. That is definitely how I feel. So we'll play another song or two, and then we'll hop on back, say our goodbyes, talk about maybe what we're excited about doing this weekend. So I'm going to lighten things up a little bit. This is off of Partner's new album. Great album. I love them a lot ever since their Ellen Page song. This one is called Woman of Dreams. So enjoy that one. We'll be right back.
this and win over $3,000 and prizes by participating in the second UBC Campus Challenge. CITR is participating for the second time in the Campus Challenge. You can check out the cool places on campus and collect stamps for completing challenges and win amazing prizes. The challenge starts on the 1st of September and runs until October 31st. For more info on the participating venues, challenges, and to download the passport, go to welcomecenter.ubc.ca/challenge. And remember, the challenge is open to all UBC students, staff and faculty and alumni. And there's no participation fee. It's free. See you on campus. It's free.
The A's Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us at aidsvancouver.org.
To keep the cycle going, keep the cycle going.
And we are back. That song always deceives me because it ends a little bit earlier than the time track of it. Because it's one of the, it was a live recording, and so at the end they're all just kind of chilling and hanging out. Cool song. That was You Could Be a Salmon, Black Spruce Bog, off of their album The Hatchery Sessions. And I played that actually on my music show earlier this week, and I thought after kind of our day of heavy conversation, it's kind of nice to have a nice warm, fuzzy tune, and I describe that tune as warm and fuzzy. Cool album recorded at a fish hatchery on the BC coast, all in support of kind of these environmental issues and kind of anti-pipeline stuff. So really neat album there. But yeah, this is bringing us to the end of the program here. This has been Intersections here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at the beautiful British of Columbia campus. I know I'm excited for the weekend. It's been a rough week, as we've been saying. And as we kind of go out, if we just want to kind of maybe mention something cool coming up that we're excited about, or it could be an event. It could be good. That's what mine will be. But maybe it's just snuggling up with your cat in a crock pot full of good food. For me, I know I'm excited on Sunday. Queers and Beers is hosting their cider edition. I'm new to the city. I haven't been to a Queers and Beers event yet, but I'm very excited about this one. Down at the Cobalt, which I think is on Main Street.
Yeah.
And they're just going to be highlighting a bunch of good cider and video games and pinball and food truck and patio. Hopefully it's not raining. And more cider and lots of cool queer folks getting together and enjoying tasty beverage treats. And so, yeah, there's still some advanced tickets available, I believe. Check those out. Check out the Facebook events. Just called Queers and Beers Cider and Beer Edition. That's Sunday, October 22nd at the Cobalt. So that's what I'm excited about.
I mean, I wish I was going to Queers and Beers. Queers and Beers?
Queers and Beers.